90.3 KNBA and Destroyer from the album Furnace. It's Dead Man Winter, which you probably know is the side project of Dave Simonette from Trampled by Turtles, the more rock and less bluegrass side of Dave. Tristan with Jenny Lewis and Glass Jar from Tristan's new album Sneaker Waves. We heard new stuff from Thomas Wynn and the Believers. Classic Aretha Franklin in their Lady Soul with Until You Come Back to Me. And we started out with track one from Chicano Batman's Freedom is Free release and Passed You By. 25 minutes past 8 o'clock. It is the Morning Line program for Tuesday. Thanks so much for tuning in. And I'm Danny Preston.
And I'm Frank Scheithlick. So there's various things happening in our community, and a lot of them relate to fundraisers and different things. There's this film coming up on Monday, which is called, well, let's see. A couple of great guests who will fill us in on this. A little sketchy on details. Now that I look and see, I don't have my paper in front of me. Bill Erbley and Kevin Tripp are here from the Alaska Innocence Project. Tell us about this film, this fundraiser.
Well, on Monday at the Beartooth at 5:30, we'll be showing Alfred Hitchcock's The Wrong Man, which is kind of an unusual film for Alfred Hitchcock. It was the only film he made that was really based entirely on actual events, specifically a man, Manny Balestrada, who was wrongfully accused of a series of robberies in New York City in 1953, and was ultimately acquitted when the actual robber was identified. And it's shot in almost a very documentary style, and all in the correct locations in New York. He really was Alfred Hitchcock was very fastidious about the details. He felt very passionately about the story. And one of the aspects about it that, in addition to kind of telling the story of the person who goes through the experience of being wrongfully accused of a crime, you also see the effect on the family. The lead role is played by Henry Fonda, and his wife is played by Vera Miles. And as happened in the actual story, the wife ultimately wound up having to be institutionalized for a period of time just from the intense psychological stress of the situation. So it's very interesting, great film.
And so it sounds like it, just by nature of the situation, the suspense that Hitchcock usually brings is still there, that sort of intensity.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even though it's like a true story, so I guess that's kind of the leads up to the question: does this happen a lot?
Well, Frank, this is Bill Erbley. I think wrongful accusation happens a lot. With the work we do, we identify where the system has failed all along. And so the Alaska Innocence Project gets involved when individuals are not only wrongfully accused, but wrongfully convicted, and their wrongful conviction is upheld through all their appeals. They will contact us, and that's where we get involved. And unfortunately, it happens more than you think. I think the estimate is that amongst the people who are in prison for serious crimes, 1 to 2% of them are innocent. With a national prison population of 2.5 million, that means between 25 and 50,000 people are wrongfully imprisoned.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
It is.
And you know, I can think of the Fairbanks Four as kind of a good example up there in Fairbanks. And what happens to people's lives when that occurs?
Well, everything you can imagine happens and more. So let's use the Fairbanks Four as our example here. Those young men were wrongfully convicted at between age 17 and 20. So they went into prison as young men, just starting out in the world, spent 18 years in prison for a crime they didn't commit, and got out to a world that was not only much different, but for which they had no preparation for. They had no job experience. They had no advanced education, and all those things that you can imagine happens to somebody like that have happened. Trouble finding jobs. Certainly all four of them are suffering some form of PTSD for having been in for that long for something they didn't commit. But I will say that of all the people I've worked with in my my long legal career, the wrongfully convicted are some of the most amazing people I've had contact with. To be able to hold on to your self, your being and your spirit while you're in prison for something you didn't do, these are very amazing people.
Wow, so kind of like everything is sort of stripped away from a person, and then if they have that kind of core of innocence and hardness, they're able to sort of persevere, you'd say, or?
Frank, I really can't imagine how I would react to that. You have faith in the system. You hope that even after a mistake is made, that it will be corrected. And after some period of time, you'd think you'd almost have to give up. But these men do not. These men did not, and many others. I can't say universally. If there are 1 to 2% of the population is wrongfully convicted, that's between 500 and 1,000 people in Alaska that are in prison wrongfully. And so we're trying to identify them, but I would hope that those who are in wrongfully don't give up and let us do our work. It's hard to imagine.
I guess I've got a question for you, Bill. The United States has 4.4% of the world's population, yet it houses 22% of the world's prisoners. Is this the work that the Innocent Project does? Is it sort of endemic to what we see in the United States? Is this a problem around the world, or are we really that much worse off?
Well, I think it is a worldwide problem. Obviously, it is more common here just because we have more people in prison. It is a worldwide problem, and there are innocence projects starting up throughout the world. There is a Latin American contingent of countries that have innocence projects. Each year, more countries start projects. So it is worldwide.
It's a global association.
Yeah. We have sort of an umbrella group, the Innocence Network, that brings everybody together. So we stay in touch. Obviously, the systems of justice are different throughout the world, so how that's handled can be different, but the problem is common. Justice is a human system, so mistakes are made everywhere.
Okay, very well said. And Kevin, I'm curious, and we know you as a film archivist, of course, with AMIPA. How did you get tied in with this presentation?
I'm a member of the board of the Innocence Project. Have been for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years now, I guess. And I went to one of the fundraisers they had several years ago, and they brought up a guest speaker, and I was interested in the subject. Going back to graduate school, when I did a little bit of study into criminology and subjects like the unreliability of eyewitness testimony, things like that had always stuck with me ever since I'd been in college, and I'd sort of retained a level of interest about those issues and the ramifications of those issues, and so became interested when I heard about the Innocence Project and their work, and was invited to be a board member, one of the few who's not actually a lawyer.
Okay, tremendous.
So the event is the film The Wrong Man, and it's this coming Monday from 5:30 to 8:30. We've been talking with Bill Orberly with the Alaska Innocence Project, and Kevin Tripp, also on the board and a member of AMIPA.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Frank. It's 8:34. Just ahead, music from The Doors and new stuff from Broken Social Scene, too.
In the name of Indigenous food sovereignty, Native groups are working on reviving plants and the seeds that connect to their cultures. Over time, because of changes in agriculture and other factors, the practice of keeping those seeds has diminished. Join us for the next Native America Calling as we peer into the realm of Native seed saving and cultivating.